from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life.
Hey everyone, it's Lacey motherfucking Skulls, and this is Talk of Love, episode 50. So I have some good news to share. We've actually been crossing a few milestones in regards to the Talk of Love podcast. For starters, Talk of Love just had its 1 year anniversary. Woo! I can't believe it's been a full year. That's so wild. And not only has it just been a year, it's been the craziest year. I mean, this has been a wild, wild past 12 months. But yeah, Talk of Love, man, started in my living room and I didn't even have the Talk of Love YouTube channel yet. Started it on the Lacey Skulls YouTube channel. February 3rd is when it all began. And I had no idea what I was doing. You know, we just had this like this vague kind of sort of idea of doing something that was sort of reality show related. And I was like, let's just go for it. Took it and ran with it. And I just remember when I was with Heather and she was in my living room and, you know, I had these GoPro cameras. Heather's not like a tech person at all. And I am a little bit, but I had these GoPro cameras and I had these like, you know, jerry-rigged, you know, tripods and things were like falling over. And I was like using duct tape and, you know, to create tripods. And then I was simultaneously both learning this new editing software and editing the first episode together at the same time. So it was crazy, you know, but I was like, I saw something, I knew the fans were interested. And I was like, I'm just going to just go for it and see what happens. And I really, really love what it has evolved into. I feel really blessed and grateful that I have gotten to reconnect with so many amazing people from the VH1 shows, from Rock of Love, Flavor of Love, I Love New York, Daisy of Love. I mean, there's been so many great people and the fact that I've gotten to connect with them via this podcast, that's been very rewarding in of itself. So it's been a cool experience. And I want to say thanks to you guys for making it happen. Another great milestone is that on the YouTube channel, we just surpassed 10,000 subscribers. Woo! The funny thing is that happened literally on the actual anniversary date, which was February 3rd. It was a hell of a coincidence, but yeah, I'm super grateful, and I just want to say thank you to all of you guys who have been watching, who have been commenting, liking, and helping to build this podcast up too. So shout out to you guys. Shout out to the contributors. And while we're speaking on it, if you haven't done so already, I do ask if you could please hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. That would be awesome to show your support. And yeah, all good. So on a bit more serious note, I also want to take a moment to say my condolences. Sadly, last week we did lose somebody from the VH1 family, Dustin Diamond, who we all knew from Saved by the Bell as Screech, such a great character, and also VH1's Celebrity Fit Club. Dustin sadly has lost his battle with cancer, and it's very sad. So I just want to say my condolences. My heart goes out to Dustin's family, friends, and to his fans. So now on a happier note, I am really excited about my next guest. I've had him on once before and he's just so entertaining and so much fun to listen to. We didn't get through all the questions last time, so I invited him back for part two from I Love New York. You know him as Tango. Please welcome Patrick. Hey, Tango, what's going on? It's nice to see you again.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's really good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this was a total coincidence. I didn't plan this out. But I have to give a shout out to the fact that it is Black History Month. And so I wanted to mention that to you as well. I think that's kind of, it's just, there's been so much craziness going on in the last year in particular. And so I think it's good that anytime we can celebrate Black history, Black culture, Black entertainers, I think that we should take that time to do it.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's something that's come up before with me. I've been on other platforms and the conversation has always been, should there be a Black History Month or what have you? And for me, it's I just think it's all about, you know, us as a nation being ready to accept a lot of things we didn't normally accept. So no matter what side you're on of that debate, the good thing is we definitely need to acknowledge the Black/African-Americans who, you know, who were, you know, the backbone of this country, helped build this country. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
I love it. I completely, completely agree with you. And
people people just need to just calm down and just acknowledge it. It's a great thing at the end of the day.
There's nothing wrong with celebrating a group or the accomplishments or individuals who have contributed to that group. There's nothing wrong with celebrating. So
absolutely,
I'm on board.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good deal. Well, I also want to tell you that something special about today's date, and I actually just got done talking about this, it is the 1 year anniversary of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, congratulations. I meant to actually kind of tell you that. Listen, and I got to say this. I see you have a lot of, you know, other people emulating what you've done. And, you know, and I just want to just say, well done. You're amazing. And, you know, you're a trailblazer because you were doing this the way that you're doing it before anybody was doing it. So I think while we're on acknowledgements, that's something I definitely want to do. You're doing an amazing job. And some of the good folks at VH1 I've spoken to, I hope they're really, really paying attention because, you know, you've kept this alive for so long. And I think that's amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. That really means a lot to me. And speaking of VH1, last time you were here, you were telling me kind of, but you couldn't say too much. You couldn't really let the cat out of the bag, the fact that you were going to do I Love New York Reunited. And
right.
Since then, you've done it. You're back. And how was that experience for you?
You know what? Refreshing. And I'm shocked to say that. And the reason why it was refreshing is because of the sole reason why I made the decision. I got to say this. I made the decision because of the fan base. Because if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't have done it. I'm happy in my life. Everything's great. But I had to remember that there were a lot of people who followed the show, a lot of people who loved the show. And there were so many loose ends that I think a piece of me felt like I owed a few of those loose ends to kind of be tied up. And Tiffany did too. And so that's really what it came down to. I felt like, you know, I owed the fan base some closure. And I hope we achieve that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really cool that it happened. And, you know, I was a little bit surprised that you did it as well, but I'm really right. glad that you did. Because last time you were here, you were telling me how it was trying. It was challenging for you to do right. that show. And a lot of things happened that you weren't necessarily expecting. And I know you were saying there was things that happened not necessarily only between you and production or just the show itself, but also you in New York, where you did feel a bit duped. You felt a bit played. You felt a bit betrayed. And I know that you were saying that it's hard to be in a setting where you don't have control over how you're going to be put out there as far as editing and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So the fact that you had those concerns and you kind of got burned a little bit, I was surprised that you decided to make the decision to go and do the Reunited show. What made you decide? You said just the fans, but were you worried at all about how you'd be portrayed?
You know, the weird thing is over time, I actually stopped caring. And that's kind of a double-edged sword because, you know, I have to understand this. I have a lot of responsibility in my community. I have a lot of responsibility to other people who have, you know, who look at me. And so, I don't think any of us, even you have a lot of people who kind of look up to you and your words carry a lot of weight. I didn't really understand until my mother told me and my brother told me how the 20 something year old me came off. And the older me with gray hair is there's so much that I wouldn't do today. That's not me. And I would like to say that goes for like, and I don't want to speak for anyone, but I think that goes for everyone that was on the show. That was a different phase, a different era in our lives. And I kind of felt like I left, Lacey, you understand this. We're encapsulated. We're stuck there in the minds of people. I mean, for me, for a lot of people, my whole legacy stopped on the reunion show. You know, it just ceased. So people couldn't get past that. And they kind of kept me in this little encapsulated, this little time capsule where I've evolved well past what you saw on the reunion show. And I kind of explained that on the reunion show to Tiffany and to everybody that was listening that, you know, that was a young man who wasn't in touch with a lot of things that I'm very well in touch with now today. So,
you know, I thought that you were really great on the reunion show. I think that you did a fantastic job. I felt like you kind of threw yourself on the sword a little bit, and I understand why you did it. it was a very, very mature, very adult move on your part, because I feel like it, you very easily could have, not making excuses, because that's the wrong word, but really painted a clearer picture on why you were the way you were on the reunion show on I Love New York season one. And, you know, like what you talked about last time you were here, it was really just like the betrayal. And, you know, maybe you were doing like a little bit of like, you know, vindictiveness and going like, well, I'm going to get her like she got me. So I get where you're coming with that. But at the same time, though, it made sense to me why you were so angry and why, you know, this person that you trusted essentially not only hurt you, betrayed you, but like said terrible things about your mom. Sure. That triggers everybody, you know? So do you feel like you were able to really help people understand, besides just going, you know what, I was young and I was a hothead? I feel like you're doing yourself a disservice, because maybe that was true, but I feel like it was also a little bit more than that as well. Do you feel like you were able to paint the picture to the audience, to the people listening on the most recent Reunited, on why that happened the way it did on the reunion show?
Absolutely not. And to be quite frank with you, that was expected. I want anybody who has aspirations to go on a reality show to understand this. You are not in control of how you're going to be portrayed. You don't control the editing. You don't control the camera angles. You don't control the B-rolls. So I took myself back into the lion's den. And like you said, I kind of expected, you know, certain things to occur. I knew it was outside of my realm of control, but I kind of put that out of mind when I went on it. I just went on the show because there were people who needed to understand that those triggers, like you said, anger. I was very angry during that time. What occurred then couldn't occur now to me. Anger is a choice. All right. And that's what I want people to understand. I chose to take that route. And I always disliked the choice that I made. I can't speak for Tiffany. I mean, you guys saw her answer to certain things. But for me, I was in control of everything that I did. I own my L's. I'm a man and I accept my L's. And the response that I gave on the reunion show wasn't the response of an educated, refined, enlightened man. And just speaking on behalf of, you know, the Black community, these are some of the things we have to stay away from. We have to stay away from the poor portrayals. And whenever we got an opportunity, you know, to present ourselves the way that I know we really are, because see, TV has a way of giving the world a depiction of how our community is. And I went right on this show and I did exactly that. I felt like I had to clean that up. To put it in perspective, it's kind of like your favorite rappers now, who are now woke now, but they never want to speak on all of the damaging music that they made in the past. I just woke up one day and now I want to fight for civil rights. You can't do that. You got to put everything in perspective. You got to keep everything in context. So for me, I went on there and like you said, I had to open myself up. So whatever Tiffany wanted to say, whatever question Vivica wanted to ask, I wanted people to understand that those same triggers don't work. We're going to keep it 100 at all times. Everything's forgiven. My mother forgave her. Everybody's forgiven on this side. So I was hoping that she came to the table with the same kind of energy. And with all due respect, to a degree, I was impressed at her evolution. Yeah. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very like Buddhist monk approach to dealing with everything. It's very, very admirable. It's hard to achieve, you know? And I think that you're doing a fantastic job. And, you know, one thing I really, really liked about Flavor Flav specifically and how Flavor of Love season one went down is I thought that Flavor Flav was a great representation of, you know, his community, because I think he was cool. Like he was friendly. He was kind. He called some people out here and there, but I feel like he made a pretty big effort to not humiliate anyone. And there's other reality shows that are taking place that I can't say the same thing about. But I really, really respect how Flav was with the ladies and just his demeanor, generally speaking. And I think that the fact that that's where it all started, like that was the beginnings of it, really.
I've spoken to Flav in passing. And we both feel the same kind of way about those portrayals. We feel like you know, we have a responsibility. We understand that there's a light shined on us whenever we're put in a public eye. And we have to take those opportunities and make sure we don't perpetuate these stereotypes, understanding that there's very little you can do about certain stereotypes. They're going to be there. But whenever you get an opportunity to show the world that this is who a Black man is, you know, and I don't want to put a color on it, because I'm a Black man first when I wake up in the morning. And I just want people to kind of understand that, you know, that portrayal of, you know, that person gave isn't the portrayal that this person will give today. I've lived, I've experienced, I understand things now that I didn't normally understand. So that was my whole thing with going on the show. I was hoping she came with the same energy, and you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I hear you. You know, the number one thing that gets in most people's way is ego. And it's hard. Right. It's hard to check your ego no matter who you are. That takes a lot of strength to put your ego aside. And not everybody can do it, you know, or maybe they can, but maybe they're not there yet. But, you know, one thing that is kind of puts you guys, and I'm saying you guys, like the characters of the types of shows that you were a part of, what puts you guys at a disadvantage is, I feel like, and tell me if this is correct, based on what you're saying, you know, there's all these reality shows that have tons and tons and tons of drama, you know, specifically, predominantly white casts, and specifically usually women as well. And so you get all these like crazy white women, and then they're acting a fool and they're screaming and yelling and that sort of thing. And then if you take a show with a predominantly Black cast, and if they do the same thing, what you're telling me is that white people acting crazy and acting aggressive and that sort of thing can kind of get away with it a little bit better. But if it's a Black cast, even though on reality TV, they want the drama. The producers want the drama. But it kind of puts you guys in a catch 22, because what you're telling me is you have to figure out a way to create drama but not have it reflect poorly on the whole community. Am I receiving that correctly?
No, you're nailing it. It's interesting, because you'll get there's drama that happens on The Real Housewives. And there's several different Real Housewives, you know, shows. There's Housewives of Atlanta, and then there's the Housewives of, I don't know, Dallas, maybe?
You know, I'm not sure. Watch Housewives. I can't.
Yeah, me neither.
I think Orange County is one.
Either, but what I have noticed is that depending on the the collection of racial groups on that show, for instance, if it's a predominantly all-white cast, the drama is different than the drama that's on an all Black cast. Now, you know as well as I know, there are producers behind the show. So why are they built this way? Why is the drama so much different? Now, we know the answer to this, all right? But what I want people listening to understand is who's watching this? That's what you got to kind of keep in perspective. It's easy to look at, say, a rapper who's rapping about negative stuff or what have you. All right, that's cool. That's low-hanging fruit. Let's scroll down. Let's see who's listening to the rapper. All right, this is on TV because people want it. People wanted to see me wild out on that reunion show, and I gave it to them. People want to see Tiffany do what Tiffany does. Now, they may not want, you know, another female from another ethnic group acting the same way. Interesting, all right? But to me, it says more about the viewer, all right? And I need the viewer to understand, you're in control. If you really have a problem with how things are being depicted or how a certain group is being depicted, you're going holding the remote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You control what you see.
Well said. Well said.
We got to start saying no, especially in my community. We have to start taking a stance. You know, and I'm not, Lacey, I'm not calling out certain guys with certain shows.
Oh, I have.
That's what we're going to read.
Yes.
You know? I just wanted to be clear is the reason why you didn't see Tango on other shows is because, to be quite frank with you, I saw all I needed to do was see myself on the reunion show, and I was done. I didn't like it. And if you weren't going to offer me anything that was going to uplift my people or just the community in general, I'm going to have to turn it down. There wasn't enough money.
I like it. I love it.
And that sounds corny.
I really like that mentality. And I feel like we can still have fun reality shows and have the drama and all that without it being so hate filled. And I just think there's a way to do it better. So I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to shelve that just for a second, because what I want to actually get into a little bit more with you about the Reunited show, because it was just so interesting that it even happened at all. And it seemed to me, it's kind of seemed like out of left field. Now, about a month ago, I had Matt Odgers on the podcast, who, as you know, great guy, who is the executive producer of all of these of love shows, like all of them. And so he worked closely with, you know, Chris Abrego and Mark. And so one thing that he told me is that he was talking about how basically VH1, it's all new people since then. Like it's changed hands completely. And 51 Minds is not the same 51 Minds either, the production company. So did you get any insight from the new VH1 camp as like to why they are doing this reality show? Is this like, should we as fans go like, are they planning more? Were they testing the waters? Were they wanting to see how it was going to do so that they could do more of these types of shows? Like, did you get any insight?
It's hard to say. Before I begin, I'd say, hey, big shout out to Matt. He's the reason why I didn't catch a charge on that show.
nice. Matt's so rad. Matt.
You know, he's a great guy, man, but you know, he doubles that security when he needs to. Anyway,
he knows what's up.
To answer that question, it's hard to say. And I feel like we're at a stage with, you know, you have shows like Versus that's out now where it's nostalgic. You want to bring back that feeling. And, you know, everybody's dealing with the quarantine. We're dealing with everything that's happening with that. So we're in front of our TV more than we ever was. So in a way, I feel like they're tapping into that nostalgic part that we all love. Now, some would say it may have a lot to do with they're running out of material. I don't know. But to say which direction they're going, like I said, it's kind of hard to say. I think they're throwing caution to the wind. And when it came to like our show, I just think it was just a matter of giving people what you knew they always wanted. And I think that's going to be the wave. I mean, we can revisit this later on, ladies, but I have a feeling that you're going to see more of that nostalgic vibe coming from this new regime. That's with VH1. I just see that because, again, I mean, you can ask your viewers right now. You can scroll down. They missed it. They wanted it. And I think VH1 and some of the people that are there now are starting to actually listen to that now.
Yeah, you know? That's the whole reason that this podcast is popular. You know, I didn't really know how long I was going to be doing this podcast in the beginning. I didn't know how long I'd be doing it. I didn't know how people would, how it would be received. And everybody's just all about it. And I think you're right. I think that the number one reason is that nostalgic factor for sure. So that makes sense. And I really hope that VH1 wants to bring this back, because I personally, from a fan perspective, even though I was involved in the shows, I also was a fan. And I just haven't found anything that has matched the level of entertainment, but also I will say integrity too. I said that to Matt when he was here. I'm like, you know, you guys were able to produce a show that wasn't like what I call going down like the Jerry Springer path of just people screaming and cursing and, you know, and if it's censored, you're screwed because it's just like beep, 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 beep. Like,
exactly.
Jesus. Sounds like Morse code. But, you know, but Matt Odgers was saying one thing that was really important to them is they wanted the drama, but it was important that they keep it fun and funny. And I think they were able to accomplish that. That's why I cannot watch Housewives, because it's too much for me, and it makes me not feel good. I don't feel good when I'm done looking at like a pack of bitches screaming and cursing in each other's faces, you know? So
Right. It's definitely not for me.
Yeah. So,
my mom used to say, once you scrape the bottom of the barrel, you got to fill the barrel back up.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm not knocking any shows in specific. I'm just saying that, I mean, how much lower can you go? With some of the shows we're seeing now.
It's cheap and easy. You got to, you know, as producers, writers for these shows, you got to challenge yourself to to do better. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So when how much did you know of what to expect regarding the reunited show before you were there? Did they kind of fill you in on like who was going to be there, who wasn't going to be there? Did they give you all of that kind of feedback up front?
For the most part, it was pretty under wraps. I don't even think they knew because of what's going on with, you know, C-19 right now. I'll tell you, it took me 7 tests just to get up there. It's different times. So I felt like just on the context of what it was required to get everybody, like if you watch the show, we're spaced apart.
Yes.
There are guys who couldn't make the show because the requirements just to do it were crazy. I had some issues with like, wow. You know, I mean, I had to go through at least 2 different quarantines.
Oh, really?
So just with that alone, and even with some of the shows I'm currently working on, the roadblocks because of, you know, C-19 have introduced some real serious obstacles. I mean, look at what it's done to, you know, the filmmaking community. Look at what it's doing to the music community. You can't just go to a concert. I'm here in Tampa right now during the Super Bowl. And Tampa Bay. Right. Shout out to Tampa Bay. All right.
Woo.
In case y'all didn't know, I had to throw that. I'm sorry. I probably lost
the
fans.
No, you're good. You're good.
I'm sorry. Go Tampa Bay. Anyway, the point is that it's changed everything. It's changed the dynamic of reality TV, if we're just speaking about reality TV. And that's amazing when you look at it now. So that actually created a whole different dynamic. So a lot of the guys, I'd say well over 30%, probably had issues with that. Aside from that, a lot of guys probably felt like me. And I spoke to Onyx. I spoke to Boston, Frank the Entertainer, and a lot of other guys. Again, we're all in different places in our lives. So the biggest obstacle, and just speaking with some of the guys I still keep in contact with, it's like, why? Like, what is the gain from, you know, especially if you're in a good place?
You mean why go back into this reality?
Why go back into the lion's den?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was just like, that was the first thing I asked myself. I'm like, my life is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life, everything's good. Why would I go back into that situation?
Bring all this craziness. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I totally.
Yeah, and same thing with Boston. And, you know, we keep in touch. And it was just like, we both were together like, you good, man? Like, I'm great, man. You good, man? I'm great.
That's awesome that you guys have the support of each other, too. Because yeah, I agree with you. It is a little bit, you know, like walking back into the lion's den. And when we all were doing this 10 plus years ago, most of us were much younger. And so now that most of us are like either married or in relationships, careers and stuff like that, you know, I feel like that's something we could kind of all get away with when we were younger. Now it's a little bit different. But, you know, I want to tell this more so to the people watching. A lot of people are going like, when are you going to bring Frank the Entertainer on? When are you going to bring White Boy on? And Frank, I've actually met a couple times in passing and he's totally cool. Never met White Boy. I have invited both of them on the podcast and am kind of getting like crickets in response. I've reached out to both the Entertainer and White Boy a number of times. And I kind of figured like, well, you know, maybe they just like don't want to get into that or, you know, I don't know. But then I saw
not to interrupt, but, you know, again, not speaking for anyone, but it is a huge psychological obstacle. It's like you know you're going to have to, because there are things that I, for a long time, I just really didn't even want to discuss. I'm like, all right, right, you know. But I got to this point where, you know, I was like, you know what? Some of those fans, and you get them too, I know, it's just like, that helped me through certain things. You know, and so you feel an obligation to kind of give some of that energy back. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what, again, like I told you, the fan base really just said, please, we really want to see, you know, you we would really like for you to tie those loose ends if you can.
Yeah.
And I felt obligated to answer that, you know,
and
that's really what it's about.
That's
you know?
Really cool. Cause yeah, I think it's important. But I was surprised at some of the people who weren't there, you know, and I know everybody was surprised that Chance wasn't there. I was looking through some of Chance's stuff. I know he put out an Instagram live a while ago, and he was basically saying that, you know, he didn't want to be kind of what you were saying. He didn't want to be like dragged back into the lion's den, but especially there was so much surrounding his brother Real. And for him, he seems, based on what he said on Instagram, that he likes to deal with that privately, you know, which is understandable. He doesn't want to put that out in the world, how broken he became when he lost his brother. So it would make sense to me why he wouldn't want to put himself in that, in such a potentially emotional thing, you know? But so you think it was mainly the COVID thing on why there wasn't more guys there, or maybe—
I think that was a huge obstacle. No question about it. I mean, like I said, I have a really, really, really busy lifestyle. I have no idea how I pulled it off at all.
It was in Los Angeles, right? Where it's filmed?
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Oh yeah. And I'm in Florida. So, you know, of course we filmed in LA. So
when you were in LA, did you have to quarantine, or did you do it before you were on the plane?
Oh yeah. I quarantined. I took at least two tests here, almost three tests there. It was insane.
Wow.
And so I can see how a lot of guys found it a little difficult to kind of, to kind of make the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I think you nailed it. It's just, you know, the question becomes, I don't know if I want to deal with that, you know.
Yeah,
and
that.
I think with those two things, the obstacles that COVID presents, and you know, and I think I said this on the show, they kind of glanced over it a little bit. And I mean no disrespect to Tiffany when I say this. Yo, it wasn't fun. I've never in my life, you know, went to court or to get the attention of a female and got dissed in the process.
Right, right.
And I think when some of the fans, they get caught up in the fun of the show, they forget. Stop for a moment. Take a step back. These dudes are coming to the show to be in a relationship with you, to get to know you. But every situation was a prove your manhood, or you're not this, you not that. I'm going to pick on your net worth. I'm going to pick on where in real life does that occur?
Yeah, it was 100%. It was really, a lot of it was like pretty demeaning and pretty humiliating. And people forget, like, they can watch that and laugh and then turn off the TV and go about their day.
But
you're stuck with, I mean, the craziest was, you know, we've talked about this before, Pootie, you know, and I rewatched that and I'm like, that was incredibly emasculating, you know, like how humiliating and embarrassing. And I've been reaching out to Pootie. I want to bring him on the podcast. I don't know if like his reaction was real or not real, but I totally could understand why somebody would have like a total meltdown. And especially when you got Sister Peterson, you know, on top of you at the same time. And it's like, everything is always like a surprise, you know? And then if you are not able to deal with it or cope with it, you get no advance notice of like, well, you better pull your shit together because this is going to be some difficult, heavy shit on national television. I mean, it was brutal.
I'm glad you used Pootie as an example. Me and Pootie, when we were on the show, just a great dude. We were competitive, but at the same time, we had this mutual respect because he comes from, he can correct me if I got this on the south side of Chicago. I come from a pretty, you know, tough side of Tampa, Florida. So we really related on the show. It was more or less like, yo, man, I got a lot of respect. I'm still going to win, but that type of vibe. But people never really understood how Pootie got to that stage. And that bothered me a lot. It bothered me a lot because the storyline with Pootie extended well past what you guys saw.
Oh.
And I don't want, again, here I go again. I don't want to speak for the man, but it was real for him. And I always felt the kind of way about the show, kind of putting it in a comedic way when, much like a lot of other people on the show, a lot of psychological things took place with a lot of people. A lot of people had problems after that show.
Yes, that's
it was,
true.
Yeah, and I think mental health is a serious thing. It's a real thing. And I don't think back in the golden age of reality TV, people understood what we went through. Mind you, took our phones, took our tablets, took our laptops. We could only make calls at a certain time. We didn't know it was a Korean missile crisis. We knew nothing. We were isolated from the world. And if you're somebody who's already dealing with things in your life, that does something to you. I you know what? I'll tell you straight up. I mean, after a while, Pootie and Onyx was with me during that saga. And maybe one day I'll, you know, if you want to know about the saga, hopefully Pootie will get back in touch with you because I think he has a story to tell. I really hope he does your show because I don't think he got his just due. I think,
yeah.
No disrespect to VH1, but I feel like they did him real dirty with that whole storyline. He was a tough dude, and I think they really kind of undercut him. And I hope that he's doing well in his life. I have a lot of respect for him, and I hope everything's good for him because I think he has a serious story to tell, and I think he didn't get his just due.
Yeah, you know? I definitely want to make it happen because it's these shows are supposed to be fun, and it breaks my heart that so many people had such, you know, negative, if not traumatic experiences. I also want to ask you, what was it like for you to see New York again? Because I know last time you were here, you told me that not only did you have what people saw on the TV screen, but afterwards you guys had like a legit long distance relationship for several months. You guys were talking all the time. And then we saw what we saw on the reunion show. So how much time had it been since you last saw New York, and did it bring up any kind of feels for you seeing her in the flesh again on the most recent Reunited show?
Legitimately, honestly, 13 plus years. That was really the last time you all saw us on the reunion show was the last time I physically saw and talked to her.
Wow. That's
seriously
crazy.
And I think Vivica asked the question on the reunion, like, was that all it took for her to talk? No. It was first and foremost, I went through hell like a lot of guys on the show. I already went through hell on the show to quote unquote win this show. You're not gonna the old me, you're not gonna talk about my mom. That's not now, you know, now I'm real narrow-minded. And I'm not really thinking, I'm only thinking about myself at that point. I feel like, you know, again, and I mentioned this vividly, it was Hollywood. So I feel as though I went on the reunion show this time understanding that there's a dynamic to Tiffany. All right. And I mean no disrespect. I never mean any disrespect, but I just gotta call it like I see it. She has to appeal to her base. She knows it's kind of like if you lie long enough, you'll start believing that lie. Tiffany that I met wasn't a bad person. She wasn't a rude person. She knew she had to do what she had to do. But I think over time she evolved into somebody that I don't even think she liked. She looks like she's in a great place now. And that's what I love to see. Any feelings? Nah. It was just really awesome to see, genuinely see her in a great place. That was great to see. The same thing with, you know, Boston or Frank and everybody else. I just genuinely, and maybe this is just, you know, new Tan. This is old man Tan saying this maybe, that I really honestly love to see that she seemed genuinely happy. That was my first time actually seeing that she's secure and happy with where she's at. And to me, that's what I took from it. That was the only vibe I got. I'm like, yo, okay, Tiff, you got a little glow about you. That's awesome.
That's,
you know,
cool.
And we vibed a little bit because we're both in great places in our lives. So it's real good.
I love it. So did you really get to hang out with her or the guys outside of being on that stage? Like when either backstage or maybe back at the hotel, or you're in LA, I would imagine for a little while. I know you had to quarantine, but I would imagine the other guys were in the same hotel as you. Did you get to like have real hangout time with anybody?
COVID is a hell of a virus.
True that.
No. Actually, no. Listen when I tell you. I don't know where everybody stays. And if you're in LA, a little bit more strict than it is here in Florida. And the show was taking no chances at all. And I totally understand it. I mean, when I say it was from my dressing room to the stage, from the stage back to my dressing room, getting escorted by people that look like they're in hazmat suits, it was that serious.
Wow.
And I applaud Viacom and VH1 for taking those measures. And So the short answer is like, no, I don't even think, I think everybody kind of just kind of chilled out, and it was still, it was really hot as far as, you know, what was going on with COVID at that time. So you really didn't even really want to be out amongst a lot of people at that time. So no, it wasn't. And then on top of that, I mean, just on a personal sense, live and let die. Listen, I think me and Tiffany, we both were just like, you know what? This was good. I really felt like I wish we would have settled our differences this way. And I think, you know, she is going to do her thing. She's engaged. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I know she hasn't said like, yet who her man is. Do you know who it is?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea, man. I just think like, hey, that guy is the real MVP though. So, and I really think that that's an awesome situation. So for me, it's like everybody, each fighter go back to your corner. We're all good. And that was it. After the reunion, you know, me and Tiff, you know, we kept in touch via social media. And that was pretty much that, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. That did you feel like you got closure?
I never needed it.
Okay. That's good.
But I was, if I had a dollar for every message I was written to me about, oh, I needed that. And it had absolutely nothing, strangely, it had nothing to do with what happened on the reunion show. Believe it or not, every message I ever got was like, you look like you love life. You look like you're doing okay. Because before that, it was like, oh my God, that was horrible what happened to you. How dare she do this? Those were the messages. Now it's like, yo, you look good and you're doing good. That's great. For her, it was the same things. Like, it was really good to see that you two people who had such a dynamic event take place right there on national TV came together and there wasn't any explosions.
Yeah.
Did I think that was going to be the case in the back of my head? Hey, we're still dealing with Tiff.
Yeah. All right, well, not only Tiff, but also like I know White Boy, you know, at one point was quite volatile on some of these shows. I know it's been a long time and I don't know. I mean, I've never met the guy, so I only know what, you know, we all saw on TV. But, you know, so there was definitely like people there, personality types there that could be explosive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, again, that is another factor about going on a reunion show for me, for Boston, for everybody. If you ever had any kind of beef with anyone, I'm a messenger of peace. I walk that path now. And for me is that I'm all about defusing beef. I'm all about fixing situation. I think people got me totally wrong when I made a comment about Chance not appearing, which honestly, he's a grown man. He can make his own decisions at the end of the day. And everybody has their reasons. PSA for our fans out there, Lacey. I want everyone to go look up the term B-roll, please. Please take a moment to understand. So you didn't hear the whole statement I made about him not appearing because there was another little part where it was basically like, again, everyone has to come to, you know, whatever it is they need to get to on their own terms. And again, for me, I was only quoting or talking about what me and Rio discussed before his passing. And that was something Rio wanted to see. Rio also mentioned he hated what happened between me and New York on a reunion show. Rio was a real passionate dude. And so he always mentioned it. Every phone call, it was like, yeah, man, I really want you and my bro to kind of be cool, man. That would be, you know. And for me, that kind of hyped me up. I will admit to you, for me, is this, I see Chance as another black man doing his thing. I'm really proud of, because what people didn't see on the show was White Boy, Chance, me, before everything happened, we were all cool. And I hated to see which route that competitive nature took us, because a lot of personal stuff kind of seeped in and things went left, real left on the show with a lot of me and the guys on the show. So being who I am now, and having Real in the back of my head saying every time we talk, hey man, you know, you and my bro need to really, you know,
That's
that would
cool.
really be a cool thing to happen. And so for me, I was hyped at that because I vetted all my beefs in my life, and I feel great doing that. And that would have been great. That would have been great to do. Not a big deal because I've already made my peace with it. And that was the situation. So I think people kind of took that as me being insensitive for his reasoning for not going on the show. Not at all. Again, do what you got to do, man. And at the end of the day, I'm real proud of him. If he's watching, I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him. And big blessings going out to him and his family, man. Just and genuinely a good family, a beautiful family.
That's really kind of you. When is the last time you actually spoke to Chance or emailed or texted or anything? Has it been like years and years and years?
I don't want to call it a confrontation. It was just, they were doing it, Real and Chance were doing an appearance here in Tampa. This was like at the height of the show. We were all traveling, doing appearances, and I had just gotten in town and they were doing an appearance. I don't know why Real didn't mention it. I mean, we were all just kind of fast paced, appearing here and appearing there. And, you know, a lot of people thought I was from Miami. Maybe it didn't click. I don't know what the situation was, but I think people didn't understand when Chance was making a lot of statements that he was making, like those backroom confessionals, when you're feeling hot and loose and you're trying to get a good sound bite.
Right. Yeah.
I'm really from a place where a lot of guys that I don't necessarily associate with anymore didn't like some of the more violent statements that he made.
Yeah.
So by the time I got into town, shout out to DJ H. Fidel, because he really diffused a real bad situation. And I guess, just long story short, he came to a city. It'd be the equivalent of me talking crazy about Young Jeezy then flying to Atlanta.
You right. know,
it
Going
was that
turf.
Type of situation.
Yeah.
Tampa doesn't have a lot of shining stars. We have some great ones, but we protect our own here. And I guess they kind of took what he was saying on the show, specifically about guns.
Oh, shit.
And I think, thank goodness that somebody caught wind of that.
So, like,
and
did
what
everybody
happened with that was a beautiful three-way phone call between me and Chance and Real. And I won't disclose that, man. Hopefully, maybe one day, if you get a chance to talk to Real, hopefully Chance, if he remembers that situation. But it could have been ugly. Thank goodness it wasn't. But it strained us further, mm-hmm. I guess you can say.
Mm-hmm.
And even for Real at the time, Real was just like,
yeah, a lot. Intense. So basically, like, when you guys and your friends back then who were backing you up found out that, like, Chance was coming to town, they were like, we're going to go have a fucking talk with this dude. And then, it diffused before it got to that, is what you're telling me?
It had to kind of, like, they had to trick me into getting on the phone. It's just a long story, but long story short, it was on a radio station here, and basically, long story short, they asked me, hey, Tango, could you tell everybody it's all good? It's kind of ugly. These guys can't get into the club. Really bad situation. And gosh, man, that was so bad. And now I look back on that, I'm happy that it didn't go really, really, really bad. But again, it was another situation where, it strained. And I felt, again, I hate to say it, but Real was like stuck in the middle of that again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Chance, he pops off. He says stuff sometimes just for the, he's having fun at the time.
Shock value.
He says some things that, and that's what I wanted people to understand about. Sometimes Real kind of had to catch some stray bullets for stuff that Chance would say. It's funny now, because you look back, because every time you look at Real will be like,
holy shit. Wow. Well, one thing I want to ask you, because the reunion show for I Love New York season one was so wild and you've spoken a lot about your feelings about that, knowing what you know now and having the mindset that you have now today, if you could do a total redo of that reunion show, what would you do different? Because I'm sure you still would want to address the fact that you felt betrayed, that you felt duped or played, and that your mom got fucked with and dragged into it, who did not deserve it. So the feelings would still be there. How would you How would you express that? How would you get that out? And how would you seek some kind of like justice for the situation in a way that would make you satisfied today and satisfied then? What would you do differently?
First, if we were going way far back, I'd have never went on the show in general.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Tan today would never go on I Love New York. You couldn't pay me enough. But I will say that if this Tan went through that process and went on a reunion show, it's tough to say. Because again, I probably knowing what I knew, I probably wouldn't have went on the show because I knew me. I knew what I would have done. And hurt people hurt people. Mm. I went on the reunion show to hurt. I went on the reunion show to make it abundantly clear I don't stand for any kind of disrespect of my mother. And for me, you know, my mother will tell you she didn't need that. My mother is secure. She's a beautiful woman, and she didn't need me to defend that. But knowing who I am, I would have felt compelled to do that. But the mind state that I have now, knowing what I know, what you just saw on this recent reality show, that's what you would have saw, and the fans would have hated it. Mm. They would have hated it because, you know, hate, anger, and all of these things are all centered around fear. And what you got to understand is I was upset at what she said about my mom. That was the last straw. And that's what people have to understand. They keep trying to take an isolated situation and say, oh, it was your mom. Even Vivica asked the question. No, it was the whole, talking about my mom was the destination. Right. Okay, we're here now. Ultimate disrespect. But I was getting disrespected leading up to that. And I was internalizing that. And I was saying to myself, Tiffany playing up for the cameras. When she said what she said about my mom, I'm like, whoa, you didn't even know. I mean, you did that blatantly. Like, okay. And we're talking on the phone. You could have told me, hey, I took a little too far. Just want to warn you.
Right.
So knowing what I know now, I would have understood the disrespect. And I would have never went on a reunion show because, again, I wouldn't have gratified it. I would have had to not go on the show. And if I did decide to go on the show, it would have been the most boring thing you ever saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't think that
me
you could,
now?
But do you think you could have? Because, I mean, you strike me as very even-keeled and articulate and intelligent. I think that you have the tools within you to have a confrontation that stays calm. Like, hey, look, you know, I trusted you. You really hurt me. You dragged my mom into this.
I don't mean to cut you off. I'm happy that you said that because the problem is Tiffany doesn't. Mm. So she's not going to receive. She wouldn't receive who I am now. She wouldn't receive me that well.
I see.
She wasn't in the right place. I don't even think she received me on this recent reality show. I mean, this recent reunion. I think you can look, and I think she was expecting me to take off. I guess she thought that I was still in that space to a degree. And that's really the problem. I don't think at that time, if I would have came in peace, bottom line, everybody wants something. Everybody's seeking something. And when you go on these reality shows, people say, oh, you went on there for love. Knock it off. You wanted some attention too. The secret awaits eyes unclouded by ambition. Those bound by desire only see that which they can hold in their hand. And what that means is, she's driven by what she can see. She's driven by those lights and that gratification she gets from the fan base that pushes her. The fan base isn't pushing her to be a chilled out Tiffany. So I stepped back from my fan base because my fan base wanted me to be an angry guy, mm-hmm. an angry black man who the only way he knew how to express himself was through anger and through disrespect. That's just not who I am now. And regardless of what she said and what she did, I meant what I said on the show. And I meant that, you know, that's not how we in our community need to solve our problems. I want everybody to think back to that Tiffany. She's not trying to hear that. So the way it played out was the way it was going to play out. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason. And I gained growth through it. So
it's fantastic. You know. I think it's fantastic. It's incredibly admirable. I want to ask you two more questions about these shows. And then I want to find out how you are today. And then I got to run. So I'm going to make this quick. One thing that everybody wants to know about is Sister Patterson. I get a lot of questions about her. And specifically, I've had a couple of guests on here, come on here and talk about her a little bit. But is she as over the top? Is she as like big as far as her persona goes, as so intense off camera as she is on the camera? Is that genuinely who she is all the time?
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble with this question.
Okay, well, you can give us a PC all right, answer. But
I got to answer it because I feel like, once again, she suffers from what happens when people get on a show like this and you're affected. You're affected after the show's done. For instance, she may have came on a show in one capacity, but she damn sure didn't leave that way. So what I'm getting at is I met a Sister Patterson who was putting on a show. She was a little bit more extreme. Very passionate about her faith. That is legitimate. That is authentic. But also I feel like she's conflicted by the attention that came with the show.
And it's life-changing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the big takeaway. For all intents and purposes, I honestly feel like based on what Tiffany probably hears on a regular basis, she handles it pretty well. Sister Patterson, I don't feel, not so much. So it's kind of great that she's not, she can kind of hide behind, and I want to be kind when I say this, she can hide behind Tiffany's star a little bit whenever she doesn't want to be on the forefront. She can peek her head out and just say something outlandish, but then she can fall back and she can kind of revert back into this. Because again, when I left the show, Sister Patterson called me for almost every birthday.
Really? That's nice.
No, seriously. And I'm not trying to blow her cover. I'm just going to be honest with you. She was a nice woman. So who she is today is kind of hard to say. We haven't spoken in a very long time either, but which is weird because after the reunion show, that relationship between she and I kind of ceased as well. Mm-hmm. And that was expected. But I think that she's a, when she talks about her faith, she's serious about it. The way that she chooses to talk about it, that's a whole nother animal. And I think she's always dealt with problems with people not receiving her message the way that she delivers it.
Well, she definitely has an intensity. That usually brings about one of two reactions, that kind of intensity. Either you're going to get intensity back, you know, and so it becomes just like two hurricanes going up against each other, or it makes somebody shut down, you know? And so it makes sense why, you know, I mean, she's definitely an entertaining woman and I appreciate her love for her daughter, and she makes fantastic television. So that's undeniable.
Right. That's who she is. Absolutely.
It makes me happy that, you know, she's wishing you happy birthday. And I do feel like what I see is that she does mean well. And generally speaking, for the most part, she wishes people well. So that's cool. And lastly, I want to ask you, after I Love New York, obviously you didn't do any of the other shows. Were you asked to do I Love Money? Or anything else?
I think I was asked to do them all. And kind of like what I mentioned, I really didn't like, I mean, honestly, right after the reunion show, when it aired, it did something to me. I couldn't believe that's who I was.
Because you didn't watch it back. So you were just going based on your memory of the experience, because you mentioned that you didn't actually watch the show or yourself in the show. So just from your experiences, you were done.
Exactly. In the reunion show, I didn't need to watch the reunion show to know how that went down. Like I knew they weren't going to edit that, right? So I felt like I hit that bottom of the barrel that I referenced. I felt like, dude, you blew your gasket on national TV, bro. And I work with kids. I work with families. Back then, after school programs, I felt like I put a lot of that in jeopardy. I felt like I couldn't do the good work that I was already doing in my community after what I did on that reunion
show.
Oh,
man.
Let alone the show itself.
That sucks. That sucks. Because I also know that the reunion.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
The reunion show, it really does, like, the energy there is like, all right, we're about to throw down, like some shit's going down. Like that is kind of expected. And regardless of who you are or how strong you are, it is easy to get caught up in that, you know, because people are throwing that at you. The energy is there. The producers are like, you know, they want to see that out of you and out of every other person there. So it's so easy to take the bait and get caught up on it. And then, you know, before you know it, you're like, shit, I totally didn't mean for that to happen. I didn't mean to do that or act that way or say that thing or whatever. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of these reunion shows end up in like fist fights. I mean, that's happened, especially with the Of Love shows. I mean, there's been a number of like it going to blows, you know, which
right.
is crazy. So it is that environment to stir that up in people.
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, it's crazy. So what are you doing now? I know last I talked to you, you had your hands in a lot of different pots. You're doing a lot of like philanthropy stuff, but you're doing your music. And I know it's, you know, because of the pandemic, it's hard to do film and that sort of thing. But how are you coping with everything? What are you doing with yourself now?
Well, right now, as I stated, everything is great. Again, COVID is, wow. It's shaped things on a professional level differently. We briefly talked about my show, Let It Marinate, which production has utterly just slowed down and we're still filming. It's great. I'm having a good time. But because of COVID, it's real difficult to kind of film and keep a good film schedule. So for everyone who kind of writes me, who kind of caught wind of that show, it's coming. It's just a slow process right now. And we want to do everything the right way with the show. We want to make sure we abide by all the guidelines and you know, in that type of situation. So, and that's really how things have been going on a professional level. It's just really, really great. And I also should say, you know, again, I would try to slide this in, is a lot of the organizations that I still actually work with, we're actually working on our next endeavor, which is Foundation, which we're going to be working with young men, you know, helping them develop into great men in general. And to me, I'm really kind of happy about that. I work with a lot of great guys who are interested in showing a lot of our young people, specifically our young boys, how to conduct themselves like men.
Oh,
because
wow.
Again,
that's nice.
Right. And I think it's something that's lacking. Again, I caught a lot of heat because I always like to talk about the importance of a father in a household. And that's not an indictment on moms and, you know, and what have you, but it's an important factor. And I believe it's a great foundation of not the only foundation, but it's a great foundation for a young man to have growing up. And I'm speaking from experience.
I love it.
And so Foundation is something that we're launching. Come on, COVID. Let's wrap it up so we kind of get into it.
You're right.
And, you know, we're working with this program as well, where we take kids out of their own environments. We take them into other, you know, to meet other ethnic groups and other people in different areas and different regions. Because again, for me, something I promote heavily is the aspect of equality, the aspect of unity. And that's something that, you know, over the last 4 years has has been a little difficult.
Oh,
for
us, yeah. Yeah.
For whatever reason. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so those, and I can go all day about some of the professional stuff that I'm doing, but for me, the most important things that I'm doing now are shaping, changing, and developing lives. And that's a beautiful thing for me.
I love it so much. I'm so happy for you. I'm proud of you, that everything that you've got going on. And how can people find you online in case they haven't done so yet? Shout out all your social media accounts, including your
show.
I'm
amazed that people find me now. That's hilarious. But you can reach me at This Is Tango. That's on Twitter. That's also on Instagram as well. And I just recently really, really, really got hardcore about answering my messages when I can.
That's good.
Take mercy on me. You know,
it's hard. Yeah, there's only so many.
Yeah, exactly. But
hours,
yeah, you guys can find me there. Yeah.
And what about your show? So is your show a podcast or the one that you just mentioned?
We're actually a full production.
And, oh, cool.
You know, well, that's what makes it difficult, because you're dealing with all of these people. It's a lot of work.
COVID's
it's a lot
a bitch
of work
right now.
In the current climate.
What's
it's
your
tough.
Instagram for your show?
Yeah, it's Let It Marinate TV, and that's on Instagram, guys. Let It Marinate TV. Maybe I'll give you some information on how the show is going and what it's about. But if you love food and you love deep conversation, this is the show for you. I'm really, 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 really happy about it. And yeah, I executive produce it too.
Nice. That's so awesome. Well, Tango, thank you again for stopping by. I really appreciate your time. And I always love hearing from you. And I wish you all the best and continued success.
Absolutely. And congratulations again, Lacey. Yo, your show is amazing. You're a trendsetter. You're a trailblazer. And for all the people copying you, knock it off.
Well, thank
you're the
you.
Original.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. It really, really does. Well, take care, Tango. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Everybody be well.
Bye. All right. That was awesome. It's so great to have Tango back. And what a good dude. Seriously. I just am always impressed with everybody who comes on the podcast. Always great people. And I'm always happy to hear when they're up to awesome things in life. So good to hear from Tango. And anyway, I just want to say once again, thanks to all of you for staying with me and making this this year anniversary happen. And I plan on being here for many more years to come. I'm excited for the future. And thank you also for helping me to get to 10,000 subscribers. I really appreciate you guys. And also, if you're interested in becoming a contributor, all kinds of rewards and cool stuff, please make sure to visit my website, which is talkoflove.net. And you can click on whether if you want a shirt, there's a shop button. If you want some reaction videos, if you want to become a contributor, it is all right there on the website. So definitely be sure to check that out. And once again, if you haven't done so, please hit subscribe. Click that thumbs up. I appreciate you guys so much. I will see you next week. Be safe, wear your masks, and don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.